It's our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538. Last night was the first Democratic primary debate, the general consensus, Hillary Clinton coming away the winner. But what result is it likely to have in the polls?
We also stand 3 short weeks away from the date that Congress will need to raise the debt limit in order to keep the government running. Amid the scramble, the majority party, the Republicans, still don't have a clear path to replacing John Boehner as House Speaker.
Harry Enten joins us now. Harry, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
So, Harry, Democrats had their first primary debate last night. You were watching it. What'd you think?
I think that, this is an example where the media probably overcorrected. So we were going into this debate, Hillary Clinton's in trouble, a lot of pundits believe. But I think if you looked at most of the measures going in, she was in strong position in the poll. She had the most endorsements. She had the most money. And, yeah, she had a good night last night, but I think Bernie Sanders also had a good night. I think most of the candidates on that stage weren't disasters. I think Lincoln Chafee might have bordered on it, where he basically mentioned that he voted for something not knowing what it was. But I think most of the candidates did well last night, but Hillary Clinton going in this debate was the prohibitive favorite, and she still is. I will say one thing, though, and that is I look at that debate last night. I think most people look at that debate and say, where was Joe Biden, and does Joe Biden really have a path going forward if he wants to get in? And I think most people would answer that question with no. But we'll see where we are in a few days and weeks.
Yeah, I think you wrote that if there was a loser last night, that loser was Joe Biden. Does that mean when you're talking about him having a path in, are you saying that last night someone would have self-imploded and that would leave him an opening?
Right, exactly. So, Joe Biden is not somebody like Bernie Sanders who has real cred with very liberal Democrats. But he is somebody who has been in the Democratic Party for a long time. He was a 40-year or 35-year senator. He was a vice president for 2 terms. And he's somebody who could connect with the party actors in a way Bernie Sanders, who is not an elected Democrat, could. But the only way that he really has a shot at winning is if Hillary Clinton were to fall apart. And Clinton clearly did not do that last night. I think she reassured people who are worrying about the email scandal that she is here to stay. And, I just don't really see how Biden, unless something happens, Biden can get in and mount a credible campaign, or at least one in which he could possibly win.
And we're going to talk about the particulars from the debate a little later in the show, but I want to ask you one moment that the media loves to clip the most is where Bernie Sanders, some people say, handed her a gift and said, enough about the emails already, let's move on to stuff of substance. Was that a big moment, do you think?
I think it's a huge moment, because Bernie Sanders, if he wants to win without Joe Biden in the race, has to chip away at Hillary Clinton's support, because she's over 50% in the polls. And if you're over 50% in the polls, you're going to win. And so Sanders needs to chip away at Clinton's support if he wants a chance without Biden in the race. And last night pretty much showed that, and that particular moment showed that he's not very comfortable going on the attack unless it's centered around income inequality. And to me, Sanders is a candidate who clearly has a very strong message that appeals to a large minority of liberal Democrats, but not a message that is going to be able to transform this primary into one that's truly competitive.
And do you think that her win last night is going to signal sort of a turning of the tide? She was already, it sounds like, starting to turn around a little bit in terms of some of the numbers, but in terms of polls, is this going to be a pivot point?
I think, if you looked at the polls heading in, she was already, as you said, she was sort of making a turn. She had sort of bottomed out and maybe even climbed a few points in the national polls. I think where this is a real pivot point is with the media. And the media has been going after Clinton for a few months now because they need a story. The Republican side has a story in Donald Trump, but the Democratic side really doesn't have sort of an overarching story that's, quote-unquote, sexy to cover. And so last night, though, if you watch all the media response, it was Clinton's coming back, Clinton's doing great again. It was a pivot away from the negative email stories. So in that degree, it certainly helped her. But in terms of the overarching sort of, where Clinton is in this race in the polls and where she is with endorsements and money, those things are still the same. Bernie Sanders isn't going anywhere. Clinton isn't going anywhere. But that race, as it was one in which Hillary Clinton was and is the prohibitive favorite to win the Democratic nomination.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics. And we're going to move on now to the ongoing saga of the search for the next Speaker of the House. We thought it was going to be for a while. Kevin McCarthy, and that abruptly ended. And then we had the name Paul Ryan, and that's the one that's still out there right now from Wisconsin. Where is that right now?
I tell you, this speaker race is something that really makes all of us take a step back and say, maybe we don't know everything. We don't know what we're talking about. You know, when we spoke last week, it looked like Kevin McCarthy was going to be the next Speaker of the House. And now all of a sudden, he is certainly not going to be the next Speaker of the House. And John Boehner is still the Speaker of the House and is the Speaker of the House for, you know, the future, at least the imminent future as we see it. Who is it going to be? I mean, Paul Ryan's name has certainly been floated. He's somebody who, you know, at least by the traditional measures, a hard rock conservative, someone who could appeal. But again, he doesn't seem to want it. And if he doesn't want it, they can't force him to do it. He still has a say. This is a free country. And so, you know, they're going to keep the pressure on Ryan, but the list of speakers grows ever longer. I mean, from the state of Texas alone, there are four potential people who are being floated, and that may grow. So I just not sure that we really can handicap this right now. If Ryan gets in, then, yeah, he would be the prohibitive favorite, but he has shown no real signs of getting in despite numerous appeals from many party elders.
So just to play this out, let's say Ryan says, no, I'm not in. Maybe he's got presidential ambitions, doesn't want to make enemies, whatever his story is there. Let's say you've got this huge long laundry list of potential candidates. What does that mean? How does that play out then?
I mean, it sort of plays out in the way that the House Republican caucus has seemed to play out over the past years. It's a mess. And out of a mess, I don't know what necessarily rises. You know, we just haven't really seen anything like this before. I mean, I guess maybe you would want to say the late 90s when you had the Gingrich sort of transition and you ended up with Hastert as the speaker. Maybe that was sort of similar. But, you know, I don't think many people would have thought that Dennis Hastert was going to become the Speaker of the House after all of that. So I think it's very difficult to handicap right now. I think there are any number of names that could possibly be. But I think what we'll need to be is someone who really does appeal across the party at this point. I think that it's going to have to be somebody, perhaps it's an unknown person, who can satisfy the Freedom Caucus, but is also somebody who can satisfy mainstream Republicans. I don't know who that is. I don't know if anyone knows who that is, and if it was so obvious, I think we'd say it. But right now, it's just a race that's very difficult to handicap unless Paul Ryan gets in.
Well, and given John Boehner's pretty apparent glee with leaving and the difficulty of getting someone else to step in, is it fair to draw the conclusion that at this point in history, this is not a great gig?
I think that, you know, look, being Speaker of the House is a great gig in so far of being, you know, you're somebody, you're very high up in government, but it's an impossible gig because you have to realize, as we said last week, you have a Senate that is, although Republicans are in control, they don't have the 60 votes necessary to really move legislation. You have a Democratic president, and meanwhile, you have a House Republican caucus, at least a sizable portion of it, that doesn't want to really compromise with the Democrats in the Senate or President Obama. So a speaker where you're trying to move legislation, it's pretty much impossible. That's why we really don't see any large pieces of legislation moving, and you see the government moving forward. It's been able to pay its bills so far, but beyond that, it really hasn't been able to do much of anything, and I'm not sure it's going to be able to do much of anything going forward.
We're going to wrap up now talking about some possible outcomes of the upcoming debt ceiling and government spending bill deadlines. What are things we should be looking for here?
I think this is going to be a story. Look, we still have some time to go. It's not until early November. I believe it's November 5th when the Treasury Department says that, you know, we need to get, what is it, $118 trillion. We have to raise the debt ceiling above that. So we still have time. What I think we'll see a number of things that go forward. This is going to be competing with the race for the speaker, whether or not John Boehner can help move it through, whether we're going to even have a new speaker by the time that happens. These are unknowns. I mean, I'm not particularly worried about where the Senate's going to be. I think the Senate's going to be fine, but the House Republican caucus, whether there are enough votes there to be able to raise the ceiling, something that isn't necessarily very popular with Republican voters in their congressional districts, still unknown. I think that they probably will. We haven't seen any major crises that went unaddressed by this House Republican caucus, but if the last few weeks have taught us anything, it's that we need to take a step back and not assume anything with regards to this House Republican caucus.
And just very briefly, you know, is there an appeal there for the House Republicans to just hit pause and wait for that next speaker?
I think that there is going to be some appeal to that. But to be honest, as I said, I just don't think we know. I think we need to wait and see where we are in a week and 2 weeks and take it a day at a time.
Gotcha. Harry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.
And by the way, you can share your thoughts on last night's Democratic Party presidential debate over at the Central Time Facebook page.